Hello, and thanks for being with us here on The New Life Show, a series of talks with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Nitza Mazoz. Hello. Today, we'd like to talk to Dr. Lightman about the wisdom that he's studying and teaching, the wisdom of Kabbalah. The Israeli public has different opinions, fears, associations that have to do with this word, Kabbalah, the Book of Zohar. We'll try to better understand these things. Be with us. Nitza, please. Yeah. Today, we'd like to talk to you about different fears that create some kind of resistance to the wisdom of Kabbalah. I think that we all know that if I'll stop 1,000 people on the street and I'll ask them, what do you know about the wisdom of Kabbalah? Or even, how does it make you feel? Or what association does it evoke? We'll hear many things like, you can go mad, unclear forces, magical negative forces. This is the general opinion that people have. So today, I'd like to try and scrutinize. Maybe I'll put it this way. How are these magical negative forces related to the wisdom of Kabbalah? Are they related? Aren't they? How's this force that's perceived as a negative force related to the wisdom of Kabbalah? Is it related? Completely unrelated. So let's try and understand then. On the contrary, the wisdom of Kabbalah explains how to reach the upper forces. But an upper force, it means not that it's stronger, but it means that it is the force of bestowal and love. It's not a force of reception and hatred, which is our nature. How do we rise above our nature, cover our evil nature with the force of good? And therefore, the wisdom of Kabbalah, to begin with, when it brings a person to these good forces of bestowal, love, connection, that, like it says, I have to reach, don't do to others what you hate, love another as thyself, it teaches us, how can we use our forces in order to give, in order to provide others with what they want? And therefore, in its essence, it can't cause harm to anyone because all of the forces that you acquire in the wisdom of Kabbalah are positive forces of bestowal and love. This is one thing. Another thing is that people, because they hear that there is such a hidden wisdom, and why is it hidden? Because it really is hidden. Because it is hidden from our senses. Where are these actions of bestowal? Where can you even see love? You can't see it. Well, a love that a mother has for a child, that's obvious. But we're not talking about that because this is natural love that also animals have. But the love that the wisdom of Kabbalah talks about is that love covers for all crimes, meaning that there's even hatred from one person to another. And he covers that hatred with love. So what follows is that love, it can't even exist without hate. It exists because there is hate that precedes it. And therefore, what you get here are really strange things that, in our world, we don't know what to do with them. We don't know how to use them. And therefore, there are many different rumors about the wisdom of Kabbalah. I remember 40, 45 years ago, about 40 years ago, when I started studying, there were people that really held me by the hand and told me, Michael, what are you doing? You don't know what you're getting into. Look, you have such a great family, a home, a business, you're successful, everyone respects you. Where are you going? What are you doing? They really held me. And then I really heard many stories about Kabbalists from people that don't belong to the wisdom of Kabbalah, who said that you have no idea. These are people that when you stand next to them, you shiver, and many other stories. But I really wanted to know, what am I living for? I don't want to just let my life flow and finish them the way everyone else does in a cemetery. Before that, I want to know, does love have some kind of a higher value than simply sustaining this protein, our body, and that's it? And in the university, I studied biocybernetics, meaning about the systems of the body. So I wanted to all the time know why, what for, what inner forces activate the body. And I didn't see that it's explained anywhere in any science, and this is why I came to the wisdom of Kabbalah. And therefore, it's no wonder that if we ask many people on the street about what the wisdom of Kabbalah is, then practically everyone will be negative about it. The question is why? For several reasons. The first reason is, if they're religious, then sure, they say, no problem, you can keep what it says in the book of Shulchan Aruch, and you'll have everything. This world, the next world, do as our forefathers did. And really, it's clear what has to be done. What does a person live for in order to keep this? And if they're secular, they say, my grandfather, he was a great Kabbalist, and this fact in and of itself covers them too. He's proud of his grandfather being Kabbalist. There are those that say, it's not for me. Leave me alone. I have other things to do in life. I want to enjoy life. What do you want? To better my life. When I started studying the wisdom of Kabbalah, I was about 30, even though I was searching before. But I started searching in the wisdom of Kabbalah about at the age of 30. And everyone told me, what's wrong with you? You're starting to study these things now. Wait, when you'll be 60 in 30 years, and then you'll start studying towards the end. But now, it's still early. Have fun. Let's try and understand, why do people say this? There is something behind this perception, meaning they think that the wisdom of Kabbalah, the thought is that the wisdom of Kabbalah is completely different than what you're saying. There's a very big difference between what everyone thinks about the wisdom of Kabbalah and what you're describing. There's a very big difference. Now, everyone thinks that, so why did it happen? Like people say that everything's based on some kind of truth. Even if eventually it's a myth and rumors and a lie, it's based on something. It's a wisdom that's completely counter to a person's ego, that's entirely based on the will to bestow and not the will to receive. A wisdom that doesn't belong to our world. The entire nature of this world, the inanimate, vegetative, animate, and the speaking, works on reception, how to receive, how to succeed, how to earn, and if it's at the expense of others, then even better. And the wisdom of Kabbalah is based on the very opposite. How do I give everyone? What kind of desire do they have that I can fulfill? How can I treat them favorably? The very opposite. It's like looking in the mirror. It's the complete opposite. And therefore, in our world, the rules of the wisdom of Kabbalah are unclear. The governance is unclear. You want to attain it. What for? For your life in this world, for your corporeality. It won't help you. So what do you need it for? You want to feel the opposite world, as it says, I've seen an opposite world. What for? A healthy person who lives in his ego in this world, he doesn't need the wisdom of Kabbalah. Only for those that have an inner urge to cross the border, the boundary between our corporeal egoistic world to the upper altruistic world, only they feel that they have an urge for it, and the wisdom of Kabbalah is meant for them, but not for others. Not for others. Therefore, our entire dissemination that we're really so engaged in, it's only in order to find the few souls that really want it, that have an inclination towards it. In our times, it's many more than before. And therefore, the wisdom of Kabbalah is becoming revealed and is inviting. But actually, one more thing I want to ask about. From the beginning of the show, we talked about forces, and you said that Kabbalah, at its essence, can't cause harm to anyone. Now, when you have a force in your hands, suppose that this cup is a certain force, I have it in my hands, I can use this force after you gave it to me in different ways. I can use it in a good way, I can use it in a bad way. If Kabbalah, from what I understand from you, deals with supernatural great forces, positive forces, you're adding positive, but we know that there are many things, very bad things, that over time were related to Kabbalah, witchcraft, and different other things that you can't say that they're positive. Of course not. So you agree. So if Kabbalah is really dealing with forces, no, not forces. Forces isn't a good choice of words. It's something vague. The wisdom of Kabbalah deals with the force of reception, which is the entire nature of this world, and the force of bestowal, which is the nature of the upper world. These two forces. What about witchcraft? No such thing in the wisdom of Kabbalah. Can Kabbalah help you get rid of spells? No. So how come there were people that studied Kabbalah and got rid of spells? It's not Kabbalah? Maybe they thought it was Kabbalah, but you don't have a single real, authentic Kabbalah book that talks about such things in any way. It says so in the wisdom of Kabbalah openly that it's not about witchcraft, different tricks. Suppose Pulsa de Nua, everyone knows about this concept. No, it's unrelated to the wisdom of Kabbalah. What then? It's unrelated. Pulsa de Nua is a spiritual concept that there is the upper light, pulsa, de nura. Nura means light, the upper light that destroys a person's ego. And all that is on a spiritual level, where a person wants to destroy his ego, to invert it from negative to positive. That just like now I want everything for myself, I want it for the benefit of others. And this is why I need the upper force, the force of light. That's called the reforming light. It's the force of the Torah. So, from what I understand, you say that Pulsa de Nua is a force that exists in Kabbalah that destroys a person's ego. Yes. This is really frightening. But a person can do that only on himself, that he wants to destroy his ego, his egoistic desire. A person can activate such a force. A person destroys himself? Not himself. I don't know, what do you mean by himself? Scrutinize exactly what you're asking. This ceremony of Pulsa de Nua, there is no such ceremony, but people did it recently. In the wisdom of Kabbalah, there are no ceremonies, ever, never. Nothing corporeal can influence spirituality. Do whatever you want. You can go to the forest and shout. They say that at night in the cemetery, wherever, under the moonlight, full moon, midnight, has nothing to do with the wisdom of Kabbalah. What does it have to do with then? I don't know. What can we relate it to? How can we label it? Because people in general relate it to Kabbalah. People relate everything to Kabbalah because it's the hidden wisdom that people weren't engaged in, and therefore they relate everything to it. And it's a mistake? It's not a mistake, it's just a lie. A mistake is a mistake, but this is a lie. Who's lying to whom? Those that invented it. They take different things from the books and relate them to this world. So this is why people say that Kabbalah can make you go mad? Yeah, because people take different things from the Kabbalah books, and they think that it's possible to realize them or do them in this world. And in general, the Torah and the wisdom of Kabbalah, they're written in the language of branches, where there are no hands or legs or a person's body or anything else. So the wisdom of Kabbalah is really frightening. It's not frightening if you know how to read it. On the contrary, it opens up a world for you. So the people that went mad, they didn't know how to read it. Why did they go mad? I don't know if they went mad at all. I met an acquaintance a month ago, and he told me, you know, this guy heard that he read the book of Zohar, and he went mad. And I also remember someone else from many years ago that also told you, no, that he went and studied the Zohar, and people say that he went mad. I didn't see him since then. It's all talk and stories. So do people go mad because of Kabbalah and the Zohar? You can't go mad because of Kabbalah. You can go mad because of anything, including the book of Zohar, if you read it without any preparation or anything. You have plenty of such books in psychology and in everything that can drive you mad, even more than the wisdom of Kabbalah. So, let's make a summary. According to what I understand, from what you're saying, over time, different things were ascribed to the wisdom of Kabbalah that aren't related to the wisdom of Kabbalah. All the magic we talked about, the negative forces, spells, in order to add importance to it. But you're saying that it's unrelated to what really exists in Kabbalah, meaning the public relates to Kabbalah many things that are completely unrelated to it. Right. Like witchcraft, magic, and so on. Yeah. So you're saying that in pure Kabbalah, there's no place for magic, spells, not to put a spell on anyone, not to get rid of any spells, nothing. You're talking as if you came from the jungle. I'm an ordinary Israeli citizen. As if you really came out of a cave a few thousands of years BC. But there's an entire industry that makes billions, that gets rid of spells for people and so on, of course. And as you know, they all say they're Kabbalists. Sure, if I'd want to make money, I'd also make a big ritual around it. So, just to conclude so that people will understand what we're talking about, everything that has to do with magic, even though that people relate it to Kabbalah, it's unrelated to Kabbalah. So we're putting the magic aside. Right. Now let's talk about, can people go mad from studying the book of Zohar, Kabbalah? I didn't exactly understand the answer, because you said that people, they read the books, they see that it says Pulsa de Nua, they perform different rituals, but they don't exactly understand what it says in the books and do incorrect things. It's not that they're incorrect. You can't do these things in practice at all, but these rituals were done. Some of them made the headlines. When you're saying that they performed incorrect rituals, you mean that it's possible to perform correct rituals. And I'm saying that you can't perform any kind of rituals, because the wisdom of Kabbalah is not about rituals. It's not something that you can do with your hands, legs, or with your body, but only in a person's inner desire. A person that yearns to perform actions of bestowal instead of actions of reception, that's it. Okay, you're engaged in this wisdom for many years, 40 years. And you're probably a very smart person that if you open the Kabbalah books, you understand what it says there. I'm not as smart as you are. I'll open the Kabbalah book where you can explain everything, how it's related to a person's internality, that's about loving others as yourself, and so on. I'll open one book or another, and maybe I'll interpret it in a completely different way than you do. Right. So the book's dangerous because maybe I'm getting it all completely wrong, and this is where the madness comes from. I don't know, what madness? Any book, take a philosophy book, any science, any wisdom, you can understand it incorrectly. So what? If you take a medicine book and you start performing different things that it says there, so what? It's less dangerous. But who will I do this to? on yourself, on others. Also the wisdom of Kabbalah. What are you going to do? Take psychology books or psychiatry books. The same? Yeah, but no one says that people who read medicine books went mad. They do say that about people who read the Book of Zohar. I never witnessed anything of the kind. I heard about a few cases. You heard. People say so. Ah, people say so. You heard, but you didn't see. And you didn't see that it's clearly because of the Book of Zohar. Why then? They were crazy before that. If you saw anyone crazy at all. But someone told someone and so on. Why? Because a person can't stand this wisdom because it speaks of the correction of his ego. So to summarize, you're saying that people can go mad because of anything. Medicine books, psychiatry books, philosophy books. The world is full of crazy people. Talk to psychiatrists, they'll tell you that 20% of the people walking on the streets, not those in mental hospitals, 20% of the people on the street are crazy, really crazy. I had a few such neighbors, I experienced it. A few more percent are half crazy. And if you have a few left that still aren't, then they're on their way there. So the world is full of crazy people, and it's natural. Mankind is full of them. If you look at this world, can you believe that it's full of wise people? Yeah, but we're talking about going mad on this level. You're saying that people can go mad because of different things. They can go mad from a medicine book, psychology book, psychiatry book. They can go mad if they open the Zohar. Maybe they'll go mad. It's unrelated to the book itself, but to that person. Meaning opening the book of Zohar doesn't accelerate a person going mad. I'm asking you seriously. I feel like in the Inquisition 1,000 years ago. You feel like in Israel in 2018. The same. The Book of Zohar, does it drive people mad or not? The Book of Zohar is unrelated to any person, and you can't go mad because of it. Kabbalists wrote about it many things, many times, from the Ari and on. It became revealed, and everyone says that you can study it. There were thousands of Kabbalists. Since the Ari and up until now, they all wrote about it. The Hasidic leaders, Rabbi Cook, the Rabash, Bala Sulam. What is there to talk about? I'd say that to the contrary, we can't exist in our times without the wisdom of Kabbalah. This is something else. Who are we? The people of Israel and the entire world. Why? Because it explains how should we continue our life, even here, in this world, on this planet, if we want to continue living without being completely eradicated. Who'll be eradicated? First of all, the people of Israel, and then the rest of the world. What's the connection between the wisdom of Kabbalah and continuing to exist? This is for another show. Okay, I want to understand. When you told us on one of our previous shows that the Book of Zohar was written and then hidden, and it's the hidden wisdom, meaning throughout the generations, the Kabbalists hid this element. Why? They hid it because they were afraid that people will go mad or because of other reasons. I just want to understand. I understand. Why did they hide it? They hid it because humanity, throughout its existence, is going through a process of an increase of the evil inclination, of the ego. And as a result, we develop a bigger ego, pushes us to develop technologically, scientifically, educationally, and so on. And we have to reach a state that through our development, and we really love developing, that we're reaching its end. What is the end of our development? That we see that the entire development is to our detriment. And now it's becoming revealed in our world that our world became interconnected, global and integral, and we don't know how to correctly be interconnected. And so nature, that's locking all of us together, it evokes great hatred in us towards one another on different levels, and then the world comes under the threat of eradication because we can't separate technology, technique, the media, everything's closing us together so much that I feel that I'm in a cage. And countries, look what's happening to them. They're standing in each other's way, not knowing how to separate. It wasn't so in the past. So the wisdom of Kabbalah is revealing itself in a generation that already understands that it needs a method of how to correct our ego in order to allow us to exist in a world where we're interconnected with each other in a good way. And why was it hidden in previous generations? Because there was no need for it. Also, no one saw any importance in it. What for? If I can advance, if I can develop, discover continents, develop a space program, do different things, look how much we can do. Transcontinental everything. And today we see that we're at a dead end. And what now? In order to keep advancing, we need a force that connects us in a good way. Otherwise, we'll blow up this planet, not even talking about ecology and everything. So in order not to blow ourselves up, we need a good force. The force of good is brought to us by the wisdom of Kabbalah. And this is why it is revealed only now, because what was missing previously? The need for the wisdom of Kabbalah. We could have advanced by the power of our ego in a very good way. Today we see that our ego has brought us to a dead end. So the force that the wisdom of Kabbalah can bring mankind today, what exactly is it? What force can Kabbalah give the world that's missing in the world? Consideration, connection, up to the degree of love between us. Between people? Yes. All people? All people. So if I'll open the book of Zohar, what will happen? Nothing will happen. You won't understand anything there. Suppose I'll come and I'll study, I'll open the book of Zohar. No. If you're coming to study, it's not immediately. It's like a physics book. Can you immediately understand something? It's a book for experts. After many courses, we teach it. But really, it's already intended for anyone who wants to know where is he living and how can he correctly realize his life. Dr. Lightman, our time's up. Thank you very much for your patience. Thank you, Nitza. Thank you for being with us. Till next time. All the best.